We continue on learning Le'ili Nishmas, David ben Menachem, Rosh Hashanah, Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph. We remind ourselves of what we learned in the fourth Perek. One of the Tanai HaKsuva, one of the conditions written in the Ksuva, is what we called Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, that the sons are Yoresh, their mother's Ksuva, which means if the mother passes away when the husband is still alive, their mother, the wife, and therefore the husband is Yoreshar. So after he dies, now all of his sons generally are going to divide the estate equally, but he may have sons from another wife. So it's almost not fair that now there are going to be people who are going to inherit the ksuva of a woman who's not even their mother. And the concern, of course, was, as we mentioned at that time, was that a father who's marrying off his daughter wants to give a dowry, thinking that maybe if his daughter predeceases his son-in-law, that eventually then that son-in-law dies. So now the Yorshim are going to divide part of his dowry, what he gives his daughter. They're going to be some grandchildren that are not his, that are going to be Yorish that. So in order for him to give a full dowry, a nice dowry, we have this takan of Ksuvas Benin Dechrin written in the Ksuva that the children are Yoresh, their mother's Ksuva. Ksuvas Benin Dechrin. So Amish is going to address that issue, and it's going to show us that the Ksuvas Benin Dechrin has the status of a Yerusha and not the status of a Chov, not the status of a debt, and we'll see a nafka mina be to a practical application of that. Misha haya nasu shtei nashim v'meis. You have a man who's married to two women, and then he dies, and both of these almanas, his widows, come to collect their ksuva. Harishona, the one whose ksuva was written first, let's say she was the one who was married first to him. So he's married to two women. So he married one nisan, and he married the next one the next month. So the first one whose ksuva is first, kodemes l'shinia. She obviously comes to collect her ksuva first. And if there's money left, of course, then the next one will collect our ksuva. V'yorshe harishona kodmin l'yorshe shniya. And the same thing would be true regarding the ksuvas benin dichrin. The yorshim of the first wife are going to come to collect that yerusha, that ksuvas benin dichrin, before the yorshim of the second one. Meaning if the almanos died before they were able to collect their ksuvos, and the yorshim now come to collect that debt of the ksuva, so the yorshe harishona collect first the ksuva of their mother, and whatever we have left, that will be given to the Yerusha Ashniya. Nasas Harishona Vamesa. Let's say you have the following case, where this man married the first wife, and then she dies. So the husband is Yoresh, his wife. Nasa Shniya, and then he marries a second woman, Vames who? But then he dies, and the second woman now is an almana. So who's coming here? So the Yorshi Harishona coming to collect their ksuvas benin dichrin. Because what happened in that case? He married the first wife, and she predeceased him. So what, the husband was Yoresh. So all the children are getting now is the ksuvas from their mother. They want the ksuvas benin dichrin. But the almana of the second marriage is still alive, and she comes to collect her regular ksuva. Or it could be, by the way, that she dies, and her Yorshim are coming to collect her ksuva. Either way, this is a case where in the first wife, the wife predeceased the husband. And the second marriage, it's the husband who predeceases the wife. So you have a case where some of the people coming to collect the ksuva has been in Dichrin, and the other collectors are the one who are coming to collect the ksuva itself. So the way it works here is Shnia v'yorsha kod min l'yorsha harishona. Here, interestingly, the second marriage and the yorshim of the second marriage will actually have priority over the yorshim of the first marriage. Why? Because the second marriage where the husband predeceased the wife, so she's like a bal aschov. There's a debt that's owed. She's an almana. The husband passed away. She was supposed to collect the ksuva. So there she or her yorshim are coming to collect that debt. The yorshe harishona, what do they want? They just want ksuvas benin dichrin. Remember, their mother passed or predeceased the husband, the father or her husband. So they're not, so when the husband was yoresh, her ksuva, they're not coming to collect the ksuva. They can only have the right to the ksuvas benin dichrin. So that is a tevia, that's a claim of Yerusha. So, and in fact, that's what's written in the Ksuva. Inon, this is the language of the Ksuva. Inon Yirsun Kesef Ksuva Sich. What's Yirsun? They're going to be Yorish, the Kesef Ksuva Sich. That's the Ksuvas Benedichrin. So when you have some who are coming to collect or Yerusha and others coming to collect a Chov, the Ksuva itself, so then the priority goes to the ones who are collecting the debt. And one other point. And what's left from the Yorshei HaShnia, then the Yorshei HaRishona will collect their Ksuvas Benin Dechrin. However, the Yorshim of the second marriage, they cannot collect the Chov of the Ksuva unless their mother had taken a shvua for the ksuva. Remember, we learned in the ninth parak, previous parak, that the woman has to take a shvua that she had not collected any part of the ksuva. Had she died and never made a shvua, so the yorshim cannot collect anything part of the ksuva. Why not? Because of the principle, ein adam morish shvua lebanav. The rule is, we didn't explain this fully when we learned parak test mishnah hey, but that's where this comes up. The rule is, ein adam morish shvua lebanav, means a person cannot bequeath to his children money that can only be collected through the shvua of that person, because the children can't swear about that, a shvua that was supposed to be taken on by a parent. So here too, the yorshim of the wife can't take an oath on a shvua that she was supposed to have, and therefore if she didn't take the oath, they cannot collect any of the money at all. Perek Yud Mishnah Beis. Misha Haya Nasu Yishtei Nashim Vamesu. So after we learned the previous Mishnah about Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, we said it's not a chov. Ksuvas Benin Dichrin is not like a debt. It's rather Yerusha, and therefore chov takes priority over Yerusha. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us that when the Chachamim instituted Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, that's only when it's not coming to uproot a mitzvah of Yerusha min HaTorah. As we'll see, Ksuvas Benin Dichrin cannot override a mitzvah of Yerusha from the Torah, as we'll see. So a man is married, Misha Yanasu Yishtei Nashim. Man's married to two women in his Vamesu, and in his lifetime they die. So he, the husband, is Yorish, his two wives, Vacharkach Mesu. And now the husband dies. So his Yerusha, which includes the Ksuvos, obviously, of the two wives, fall to his children. The Yesomim Mivakshim Ksuvas Iman. And the Yesomim, the orphans, each set of orphans, are requesting literally the Ksuva of their mother. That's Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. And each one should be able to collect. Obviously, the Yerusha is divided equally, but the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin will depend on how much was in the Ksuva of each of these wives. One has more, one has less. That's the way it works. Ve'ein, so the Sanda Mishnah says, but what if the following happens? The ain sham elishtei ksuvos. All the money that's left, the nechasim of the Yerusha from this man who passed away after his two almanos passed away, now that fall to the Yerushim, there's only enough value of the two ksuvos. Let's say, for argument's sake, so the two iksuvos were the minimum amount, so 200 zuz for one wife, 200 zuz for another wife, and there's 400 zuz in the Yerusha. So if each one collects the ksuva of their mother, that's the amount, if one collects 200 zuz, there's no Yerusha left. There's only 400 zuz in the entire estate. So if each one collects their mother's ksuva, this one 200 zuz, and these orphans 200 zuz, there'll be nothing left. So now there'll be no official Yerusha min HaTorah taking place. So then Chokum Bishavet. So then they don't collect ksuvas binin dichrin, but rather, and this, by the way, we made the point that it could be that one ksuva is a lot more. Let's say he gave his first wife a ksuva of 1,000 zuz, and the wife of the second one 200 zuz. So you put that together, let's say there's only 1,200 zuz in the entire Yerusha, so that if each one collects Kluvas Benin Dichrin, this one 1,000, and this one 200, these orphans 1,000, these orphans 200, there'll be nothing left for them to divide as regular Yerusha. So then Chalkun Beshavet, then we don't give 1,000 zuz to these sons, these orphans, and 200 zuz to these as the value of each of the ksuvos, because there'll be nothing left, rather, for official Yerusha. So therefore, that's care, that's uprooting a mitzvah ben HaTorah, so chokin b'shava, the ksuvas benindichrin takana, cannot uproot a din d'oraisa of Yerusha. So then they divide, there's no ksuvas benindichrin, and they divide the Yerusha, instead of this one getting 1,000, these orphans 1,000, and these 200, each one for the value of the ksuva, each one gets 600. But haya sham mosar dinar. If the nechasim the Yerusha had a dinar more, a zuz more than the tiksuva. So let's say one husband gave 1,000 zuz for this ksuva, and the other 200 zuz for the there's only one husband. The husband gave his first wife 1,000 zuz for her ksuva, and 200 zuz for the other ksuva. And you know what's left in the Yerusha? There's 1,201 zuz. That we have in the Yerusha. Oh, so Mosar Dinar, there's at least a dinar, at least a zuz value. Some say it could be even less. Others say it has to be at least a dinar. We have this in other places in Shas as well. Dinar has the significance. So if there's a dinar to divide as Yerusha, so then you can each one could collect the ksuvas ben indichrin. These Yisomim will collect 1,000. These Yisomim collect the 200, and they'll divide the dinar as Yerusha, because that way, so then Hayashav Mosar Dinar Elunot to Ksuvas Iman, and they will note the Ksuvas Iman. Each one, each group of Yisomim can collect their Ksuvas Ben Indichrin because they're not uprooting any mitzvah d'orais of Yerusha, because there's a dinar that they can divide as the Yerusha. What about the following? Im Amru Yisomim, Anachnu Ma'alim al Nichse Avinu Yeser Dinar. We're going to evaluate, we're going to appraise the Nechasim of our father, more, our dinar more than its real value. Meaning, what do they say? Really, there's only 1,200 dinar to the entire Yerusha. And one ksuva we said was 1,000, one was 200. So there's nothing left to divide as Yerusha. So they don't want to do that. They want to, or at least one group says, the group that's supposed to get 1,000 doesn't like this, because then now it's going to be 600 each. They want to get 1,000. So what they do is they say, listen, we're going to appraise the value of the ksuva as if it's more than 1,200. It's 1,201, 1,202, maybe it's 1,300. And this way, there's a little bit of Yerusha to divide, and then we can divide the ksuvas ben indichrin the way it's supposed to be, 1,200. So it says that, why do they do that? Of course, says the Mishnah, Kadesha Yitlu ksuvas iman, because they want an extra dinar to be there for the Yerusha, so they can divide the ksuva the way it's supposed to be divided, and not divide everything equally. Ein shomin lahen, says the Mishnah, we don't listen to them. We're not going to assess the nechasim a dinar more than its real value. El shominis anechasim bebeisdin. A Beis Din is the one who's in charge. If they see that it's more than there's an extra dinar, that's fine. But if they appraise it as this is the value of the Yerusha, and it happens to be exactly the amount of the two ksuvos, or maybe even less, so obviously they're going to have to divide b'shaveh, and they don't collect their ksuvas b'nidichin, because ksuvas b'nidichin, which is a takana d'rabbanan, cannot override a mitzvah d'oraisa of Yerusha.